Well, 3 weeks ago, we spoke with Corne Mulder. At the time, there was a lot of discussion about the election for the new leader of the Freedom Front Plus, which happened over the weekend on Saturday. And Corne said at the time he wasn't fully decided whether or not he would be standing. Well, he has been unanimously elected the new leader. And according to those who know, this could shake up South African politics. Corne, thanks for joining us. What tipped your hand to decide to actually stand for leadership?
Yes, Alec, thank you very much. Good morning. The fact of the matter is that I really believe I do have a view, I have a vision, I have some ideals. I think I know what needs to be done. I've been around for quite a while. And in the end, I realized this is the opportunity. This is the moment. And either I'm going to grasp this moment or I'm going to let it by. And I was not going to do that. So I decided I will be available. And I made myself available this weekend.
Now, it's quite a rare position. I was looking through the history of the Freedom Front Plus. Since 1994, you're literally the fourth party leader, which is unusual. And Obut Pieter was the party leader for 15 years at that time.
Yes.
So I suppose you are in one respect keeping it in the family, but in another, as we've often said, you are the longest serving parliamentarian in South Africa. So if anybody knows their way around the block, it would be you. But my question, the obvious question is, why did you not stand earlier?
Yes, I'm one of the founding members of the party 31 years ago, and I've been loyal to the party and its structures and all three the previous leaders. I served under General Viljoen, I served under my brother, Dr. Pieter Mulder, and then now Dr. Pieter Groenewald. And then there comes a time that you say, okay, fine, I think it's now the right time to do that and to throw your hat into the ring, which I basically did. And my feeling was in the past that I could serve in different other roles in the party, and I did. I was for many, many years the chief whip of the party. I've been serving since the last election now as the leader in parliament. But in the end, there comes a time when you need to take the baton and move, and this is where we are now.
Unanimously elected. Explain how that works.
Yes, our party is a democratic party. It's our federal council. Our party has got a democratic structure right from members that group themselves into branches. Branches elect provincial, regional committees, then the provincial committees. Provinces then send their delegates to the electoral conference. So it's a representative body across South Africa. And then we elect, in terms of our constitution, every 3 years, we do a complete reorganization of our structures right from top to bottom. And it was now time for that again. And that means we start at the top. We elect a leader, a chairperson, a deputy chair, an executive, our FedEx, basically, and all the different committees. So and obviously, they are always very much strongly contested. When I did make myself available, I made it clear that I will put my name forward as for the position of leader and not for any other position at all. And that is what I did. I expected that I will have some opposition. But in the end, that did not happen, and I was elected unanimously, unopposed. And to me, that's a very strong indication. And as a matter of fact, if I'm honest, my idea was right from the beginning, way back, that if I would one day become the leader, I would prefer to be unopposed unanimously. And the reason for that is because you don't want to start off with the leadership leading a divided party where you come out of an election with different people supporting different candidates, etc. You can't predict that and you can't force that. It's a natural thing that either happens or does not happen. In this instance, I was elected in that fashion, and I'm very, very thankful for that, because I can assure you when we walked out of that committee room or that conference room on Saturday, I believe I lead a united party and people are committed. And I made it very clear, I'm not going to tolerate any internal conflicts or that kind of thing. Either we move together or step aside.
The three issues that many are watching. Let's start with the first and most obvious of them. Will you be staying in the government of national unity, or will the Freedom Front Plus stay in the government of national unity under your leadership?
Let me explain. When after the election last year, it was clear that the ANC can't govern on their own, I was one of the strongest proponents for the idea of a broad coalition, call it the government of national unity, because I've been involved in that for quite some time. And I really believe that is the modern way and the new way to go in South Africa. We've had too long the situation where one party dominates. So I'm very fond and I'm very much in favor of that kind of idea. But then it must be done in the right way. In any coalition or a government of national unity, it means no party can have its own way. You have to compromise. You have to find the middle ground in the best interest of anybody else. So I was very much in favor that we go into the government of national unity, and we are there at the moment. We serve in that government. We serve in the executive. Dr. Groenewald serves as the Minister of Correctional Services, and he's doing an excellent job. The question mark that now arises is, but is the government of national unity exactly what we hoped it to be? And it's not all that clear. One must be realistic. The legislation that was signed by the president are all pieces of legislation that came from the previous parliament and were adopted by the previous government when the ANC was on all by themselves. The president did now assent to those things, and it sends a signal which is not good at all. But the challenge will come when we start to get new kinds of pieces of policy or pieces of legislation and see where we are. So at the moment, we are still there. I believe you have to be there. You have to be around the table where the decisions are taken that steer South Africa and that affect the people that we represent. You have to be there. But on the other hand, you cannot be just co-opted in a situation where you are there and you are being used while the ANC just pushes ahead with their own structures and their own policies. That you cannot do. So the party will obviously from time to time evaluate our position, and we will evaluate now where do we stand with regard to the government of national unity. Hopefully we can really steer South Africa with a truly government of unity where people are listening to one another. But if need be, we will step out. But we will take that kind of decision depending on how things develop going forward. And I must say, the utterances I heard this morning from coming from the presidency by way of their spokesperson, Mr. Mgwenwa, doesn't assist. That kind of rhetoric doesn't assist at all. But we will take it step by step. And whatever decision we will take will be a calculated decision by our structures. It will not be a knee-jerk reaction.
What kind of rhetoric, Kone?
Well, this morning he is quoted to say that South Africa is a sovereign country and that the ANC will not be told by anybody to change any of its policies or any of its laws. There was a lot of blame going towards AfriForum and Solidarity, claiming that they want to bring back apartheid, which is absolute rubbish. It's not true. Claiming those kind of things and then saying basically that the gains of our democracy will be protected. Yes, of course, the gains of our democracy needs to be protected. But our democracy cannot mean tyranny of the majority. That is not democracy. The government needs to also accommodate the aspirations of minorities and all communities in South Africa. And that is what you hope to find when you compromise in a government of national unity. But the kind of approach to say it's our way or the highway is not going to assist.
It's quite interesting in that context. We have the latest numbers out from the Social Research Foundation, which puts the ANC's popularity now in the 30s and in the low 30s at that. So I guess that's something else, that another flag that you could be waving. But would you wave it, or would Peter Groenewald wave it? And I suppose that's the second big question, is who's going to be serving in the cabinet?
Well, I've said from the beginning, I think Dr. Groenewald is doing excellent work in the portfolio he currently serves. I've got no problem that he continues to do exactly that. But I've been elected the leader of the party. So from our perspective, when government engages with the party, they should engage with the leader of the party as well as the structures. And we will convey that message to the president. We understand that the president has got his own prerogative to who he would invite into meetings where he speaks to the leaders of different political parties. And it's also the president's prerogative in terms of the appointment to the executive. We respect that. But from our perspective, the party has taken a decision in terms of leadership. And we will continue doing that in a constructive, positive manner. And Dr. Groenewald will continue doing his excellent work as well.
That's an interesting point that you make there, because the Democratic Alliance took a different view. They said, these are our portfolios according to our negotiations, and these are our people that we'll be putting there. Dean McPherson saying that he would not resign if he was asked to do so by the ANC. So you take a somewhat different view, or am I misreading it?
No, you're not misreading it, but what the DA must understand is they can't refuse to resign. It's the exclusive competence of the president to appoint his ministers, and he doesn't need anyone to resign. He can dismiss. That is his right to do so, because that is the power that the Constitution gives the president in terms of the law.
Okay, so in their case, I guess, if one of their appointees were dismissed, they could then say, we'd leave the government of national unity. I suppose that's the stick they have. On your side, yes. You haven't got the votes to enforce that.
No, but that is not our point. The fact is, even if we do leave the government of national unity, and that is not the immediate intention, we know that we cannot make any difference in terms of the numbers in the government of national unity. But we are not serving there for the sake of anybody else. We as a party will have to look after the interests of our support base, our community. That is what we need to do. And if our community needs to be protected by whatever means we need to take and whatever steps we need to take, that will be the first priority.
Right. So we've now covered two of the big three questions. The other one is Cape independence. You have been an outspoken supporter of Cape independence. There would be surely many people who are having a look at the recent developments and saying, but this is so different to what they believe and what the rest of the country seems to believe. Would you be progressing those ideas?
Let me try to put it in this way. I think a political party should position itself in terms of the policies that it put forward by addressing the total reality of the people in South Africa and specifically your own support base. And if you look at our support base, for example, many of our supporters have a lived reality where they are in Polokwane, in Pretoria, in KZN, in Mpumalanga. That is the reality of where they stand. The same in different places. So that daily experience we have to accommodate in terms of the solutions that we want to create. And we are part and parcel of those communities as a community. On the other hand, for example, in the Northern Cape, there's a development around self-determination. And self-determination is a very important building block of this party. You can just look at the name of the party, the Freedom Front. It's about freedom. We are not going to be destined to become subjective to a majority that uses or misuses their majority and call that democracy. That is not democracy. That's not the test of a true democracy. The test of a true democracy is how do you accommodate also your minorities? So that is also another reality. And I honestly believe in Africa, in the long term, you will not survive as a community if you are dependent on the goodwill of a majority who says, well, we'll tolerate you now, maybe not tomorrow. No, you have to create certain structures. You have to have all kinds of things to protect yourself. And then you've got the further reality in terms of the Western Cape. The Western Cape is different from the rest of South Africa, and there are various reasons for that. And in the Western Cape, we do have the movement for more powers to a certain extent, devolution of powers, but also for independence. And I've said in the past, I support that. I think that's the way to go. Because in the end, South Africa will be much better if we can have a more federal kind of structure. This whole notion that all powers should be centered at the center is an outdated kind of concept. Communities can look better after their own interests. We need a smaller state and empower communities, empower the provinces, etc. So I'm absolutely in favor of that. However, it's not a political party. It's not a leader that can create it. It depends on the electorate. It depends on the people that are saying they want that. They will have to decide that. And I'm very unfortunate to have to say, if you look at the last election results in 2024, the people in the Western Cape did not vote overwhelmingly for Cape independence. That's just the reality. So unless that kind of situation changes, it will not move forward and be implemented. It depends on the people. It depends on the electorate. But from the party's perspective, the party is not only a provincial party of the Western Cape. We're a party that is a national party represented in all 9 provinces. And wherever the party positions ourselves, we'll have to look out and address the reality, the daily reality of our people throughout South Africa and with regard to other communities as well.
Corné, the last conversation I had with Frans Cronje, he seemed rather depressed, to put it mildly. And he said, first of all, there was a lot of attention on your election, the election that you've just been unanimously appointed to. But he also said that the way things were going, there had to be a dramatic change in the trajectory to avoid the balkanization, is the way he put it, of South Africa, which would suggest the splitting up of a country. As he put it, it's only 115 years old.
Yes,
do you align with his views on that?
Well, yes, I do. But the point is that a functioning federal state does not mean balkanization of South Africa, because we've had the experience now of 30 years of a centralized state where the government is absolutely centralized in Pretoria and is not being able to deliver in terms of everything, in terms of what is expected. And there are proven experiences where federal states do better. And I really believe in smaller states, more powers to the people, more powers to local communities, to provinces, etc. I believe there's a huge difference between the country falling apart. That's not necessary. But if we want to go into the right direction, a more federal kind of approach could be the answer for South Africa. And that's been the debate, which was way back in CODESA when we argued way back into, say, a bottom-up approach. Only powers that cannot be handled on the lowest level should be evolved to a higher level. And the ANC was exactly the opposite. We've got all powers here, and we will devolve almost nothing. And look where that brought us in terms of economic growth, in terms of job creation, in terms of service delivery, etc. Maybe the recipe that we've seen for the last 30 years is not the right recipe.
Now, you're an educated man. You've been educated here as a lawyer and in Germany and the UK in London. When you have a look at what's happening in our politics, you've often been called the only adult in the room. Is this a sense of frustration? I mean, you're in your mid-60s now. Do you really need this?
Yes. Yes, I do need it for the simple reason it's not about me. I'm fortunate I was brought up in a political home. We discussed politics morning, noon, and night for my whole life. And my father taught us, and that's true for anyone and in any profession, that one person at the right time, at the right place can make a difference. I want to make that difference. If you have an ideal, if you believe, if you've got a vision, and you can clearly see this is where we need to go, this is the answer. I cannot keep quiet about that and go into retirement all by myself and say, oh, well, I'm going to look after myself. I will not do that. I think there's a message. I think there's a vision that can be brought to the people in South Africa, because the vast majority of South Africans want a peaceful, prosperous, and a beautiful future. And we can have that. But then we must take the right decisions, and we cannot have a knee-jerk reaction where parties try to outplay each other. And in the meantime, it's the ordinary people that are suffering. We have got more than 30% unemployment. We can't get almost to 1% for growth. It spells disaster. We need to turn that around. I'm convinced that the vast majority of good South Africans want exactly that. If I can play a role in that, I'm prepared to do that, but I cannot do it alone. I need the support of everyone out there.
Corné, tell us about the new chairperson of the Freedom Front, Wouter Wessels.
Yes, the new chairperson is Wouter Wessels. Wouter has been in Parliament for quite a while. He first served in the provincial legislature in the Free State. He's been in Parliament for quite a while. He served as our media spokesperson. He also served as the chief whip until recently, until he was elected on Saturday as the chairperson. He's a very astute politician. He understands how politics work. He's devoted to the party. He's been loyal to the party. He's a very hard worker, and he's a very qualified, excellent young man in terms of our political future. I believe he's got a bright future in going ahead, and that is part of that. I am a part of an older generation, and it gives me the benefit of having been there. I was at CODESA. I did experience those negotiations. I was there in the theme committees. I was in the Constitutional Assembly. I had the opportunity, and I did propose certain provisions that are in the Constitution. So that historical link is there, and I can take that forward. But not only in our party, in South Africa in total, you'll know that the vast majority of our South African compatriots are young people. And it's time for the new generation, the younger generation, to stand up and make themselves heard, because no one would be interested in their future than they should be themselves. Together we can take this country forward.
Talking about the younger generation, and you did mention solidarity a little earlier. I was in London last week at the ARC conference and had lunch with Ernst Rutz, who didn't tell us about his news, but the next day he resigned. The feedback we're getting is that he's looking for he's going to have a very different role, potentially even in politics. Is he coming into the Freedom Front Plus?
Not that I know of. We haven't had any discussions at all. He didn't reach out to us. I've been in contact with him before he resigned and before I was elected about other stuff. I don't know what his views may be. The party is a vehicle. People may join. People may come into it. And we are happy with that. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not sure where he stands at this stage. I think he's looking at other avenues. But you must understand, the Solidarity movement is a huge, huge movement. You talk about more than 600,000 members, paid-up members, as well as their dependents. It's a huge movement, and individuals will come and go, but that organization will go forward and be successful. I've got no doubt about that.
Because he's been a bit of a lightning rod, and while he was over there, he spent 2 hours with Tucker Carlson on the Tucker Carlson show, which is also really interesting. So from that perspective, Ernst Rutz he's not universally liked in South Africa at the moment. And he's been accused a great deal by the ANC, as you mentioned earlier, from the spokesperson. So what do you make of all that?
No, the ANC must understand we are not here to assist the ANC and to make the ANC look good. That's not democracy. That's not why we exist. So if the ANC's view is that everybody's got to sing on the same hymn page, or the same song page, the same hymn all the time, that's not democracy. We have different views. We have got different opinions. And if we need to accommodate each other, we have to do so. And the question we need to ask ourselves, the ANC has put forward now for 30 years certain policy positions in terms of the economy, in terms of affirmative action, in terms of black economic empowerment. And they believe in that, and they say they're not prepared even to discuss these things. Okay, that's fine. But what were the outcome of these things? The outcome is 30% plus unemployment, zero growth or very little growth for the last couple of years. So quite clearly, those policies are not very successful. And it's no use to try and convince everybody to say, but well, we have to continue with the same recipe. We're going to apply the same recipe. Maybe next year we will bake a beautiful cake and not something that fell flat like this year. No. As long as we keep to the same recipe, we will continue to have failures year after year. And there's no reason why people should try and shy away from pointing that out. That is the role of people in society, and I think that is what others must do as well, and the ANC should understand that.
Corne, your brother, Peter, when he was leader of the Freedom Front Plus, he served as Deputy Minister of Agriculture in the Zuma cabinet, and it was for quite an extended period. Did you learn anything from his experiences that you might be able to apply now?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That was a different time. It was a different time situation and a different atmosphere in totality from where we are now. And it was a very difficult position that he was in. Remember now, the ANC then still had a clear majority. They didn't need to accommodate anybody else into the executive. But correctly so, the Freedom Front Plus is being seen as the political voice on behalf of the Afrikaner community. And that is why Mr. Zuma reached out to us, and then he appointed my brother as the deputy minister. There was a lot of criticism of people who didn't understand what it was about. But the fact of the matter is, you have to see if you can use the opportunity to make and influence the right decisions and to take things forward. So there was a lot of criticism, but on the other hand, looking back, when we took that position, we didn't just take it. There was discussions with all the relevant bodies, the agricultural unions, etc. Everybody said, yes, take it up. It's better to have somebody on the inside than to have no influence at all. I think it was a very good time in terms of understanding these things. But then the events overtook the whole situation with regard to Mr. Zuma and the Guptas, and after that, state capture, et cetera, and the whole thing went wrong. But there were absolute lessons, good lessons to be learned.
So the international community, a lot of political analysts have been watching. They're now watching Dr. Corne Mulder and trying to work out how will the Freedom Front Plus be different under his lead. We had Neil de Beer in the Sunday show saying that you and Peter Groenewald kind of don't sit around the same fire on many issues. And he was saying that he's a big fan of yours, but he is expecting changes. No doubt political analysts around the world are expecting changes as well. And although it's a small party, we're at a very, very fragile place right now in South Africa with the government of national unity and so on. What message can you send to all of them?
The message I would like to send is that, first of all, and that is as a political party, I believe that we, in the first instance, a niche market, the Afrikaner community, which is a rather very important community in South Africa, being a minority as well, but only not the Afrikaner only. We reach out to other minorities across the board in South Africa from different race groups, from different language groups, because we believe that the accommodation of minorities is essential if we want to move forward in South Africa. So that is what our market says. And we believe that if we want to be successful, I need to take and lead the party with me to position ourselves next to the ideas, what is in the hearts and the minds of the people we want to serve. I want to make the party the absolute natural vehicle. When people, they may belong to Solidarity, they may belong to the Agricultural Union, that's fine. But when it comes to the political sphere, I want to position the party so that people say our natural choice with regard to politics is the Freedom Front Plus. That's what I need to do. And once I've succeeded in doing that, it will be much better in terms of having the ability to play a strategic role also within South Africa. And we've been cooperative since prior to 1994. We aren't in opposition in trying to bring destruction to South Africa or defeat everybody. That's what we're about. We are going to be there to accommodate, to cooperate with others, to make the country progress and move forward. But then there must be also security and a future for the minorities that we hope to present, to represent. And I believe we can do that. But then we must be open-minded to look at alternative policies. We cannot continue with the same recipe that has failed now for 30 years. We have to listen to one another. We have to make compromises, and we have to accommodate each other. So I really think that can be done. That's a different approach altogether. And I'm enthusiastic about that, and I'm going to take the party with me, and I believe we can do that.
It was interesting as well at the ARC conference, where much of the talk was that the Western world has been very weak and very appeasing and very lacking backbone, whereas here in South Africa, the opposition parties could be accused of something similar, given the way the ANC has just ridden roughshod so far over the government of national unity until the budget. So it does appear as though some backbone is coming through, but are you going to be part of that backbone in the future?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've got no doubt. I will live my convictions, and my convictions are not being woke. It's not being mediocre. It's not being just so accommodative that people can walk roughshod over you. That's not who I am. That is not who the party will be. And that is not who the Afrikaner people will be. We will make our stance very clear, but not in a confrontational manner. We will find agreement. We will find reach out to other communities as well. And I think the ANC and the majority knows that. That is the history of the Afrikaner people for more than 300 years. People will quite often say, we know where we stand with that community. That I will take forward, and I believe that that can be done, but in a constructive and a positive manner. We are not here to be just strung along and to be intimidated and to be ignored. No, that is not who we are.
And that appears to be the case also with the Democratic Alliance, as you've shown in the Western Cape. Are we to expect that you'll have that kind of disruption coming through as well in a national level?
Well, yes. Yes. No, let me put it this way. A political party cannot flourish because you position yourself to say, well, support me because I'm against the ANC. Support me because I'm against MK or the EFF. You cannot flourish by just being against something. You have to stand for something. And on the other hand, you can also not flourish if you try to position yourself so closely linked to another party. I'm mentioning the Democratic Alliance. It's no use to link yourself so closely to the Democratic Alliance that the electorate says, well, why should I vote for you? I might just as well vote for the Democratic Alliance. You're exactly the same. No, we are not exactly the same. We have a lot of things in common, no doubt. But we have also differences in principle. The Democratic Alliance is a liberal party focused on individual rights, et cetera, et cetera. We see things differently. We think in terms of community. We think in terms of minority. We think in terms of minority rights, self-determination, different view on numerous things. So what I believe is we should find our own voice, and that voice should be what is in the hearts and the minds of the people that we represent. And I think I know what is in the hearts and the minds of our people. That is the message that I will take out there, not to be in conflict with any party, not to be in conflict with the ANC or the Democratic Alliance, but to find our own market. And then we can talk and cooperate and see where we take South Africa as a joint process. Because in the end, we all have to survive. If the ship sinks, we all sink together. Nobody wants that.
Dr. Corne Mulder, the new leader of the Freedom Front Plus, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.